Entrepreneurship on 702.
Group Chief Advisor at Ntiyiso Consulting Group is Andisa Ramavunga. He joins me here in studio. We're talking about those character traits. Perhaps very, very apt in that we're going to be having a similar conversation in the final hour of the show with Ntokozo Madonsela, Chief Marketing Officer at Momentum Metropolitan, about tapping into the power of soft skills. Now, I know that we're not necessarily going to be talking about soft skills in here, but in this conversation, but I think it's important for us to understand that we are going beyond the operational skills, the practical operational skills, but just the mindset, the attitudes that an entrepreneur needs to have in his journey. And Andisa is here to help me with that. Andisa, thank you so much for joining me, sir. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Aubrey. It's good to be back. I come here excited.
Yeah.
I'm a new father.
With baby girl. I know. I didn't want to say it, but you know, there you go.
And I said to my wife, I'll give her a shout out to nice say thank one. You for the gift. So I come with so much energy.
Yeah.
I had about 2 weeks off of doing nothing but raising a newborn.
Being daddy, yeah?
Yeah, being daddy to Ayela Ramabunga.
How's sleep?
It's non-existent, but I'm getting to the routines and the rhythms of it. But
well, my brother, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, congratulations. No, we knew, but we didn't think that it was our place to say anything about that until you did. So, being an entrepreneur requires a number of skills. We've already spoken about those. We need to be aware of a number of things. We need to check whether the business is viable. We need to check whether the business has got a right strategy, whether the value proposition works and all of those kinds of things. But I want to talk about the entrepreneur himself or herself. Fundamentally, what should be the mindset and the sense of attitude that they need to have to be a successful entrepreneur? And I'm using your experience and your journey to try and understand this.
So when you gave me this challenge, Aubrey, I applied a lot of thought to it.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to put a certain premise to what we're going to be talking about. Now, there are lots of skills that I can refer to, and all of them are, I would argue, equally important. But I'd like to separate two classes of skills. There's a set that I called order qualifiers. So you have to do it to be in the game.
Yeah.
So that's not what we are going to be discussing today. They are what I call order winners. Those are the cracks of the skills that sets you apart. So the order qualifiers, everyone has to do them. Things like you need to be disciplined, things like you need to be hardworking, things like you need to have certain skills around the business, the ability to learn, the attitude to learn, to try new things. Those, I think, are other qualifiers to be in entrepreneurship. But what we'll be talking about today is what really sets apart, from my own observation, my experience, my thinking and reading about entrepreneurs, is what really sets apart those entrepreneurs. So it's quite important to classify those two distinct classes of skills. I don't want people to come back to say, hey, but you forgot these other skills.
Sure.
And we know that it's required. So in my thinking, I've almost distilled the mindsets to almost four mindsets. I call them mindsets, character traits. Other people will call them the characteristic traits. I think I'm using the terms interchangeably.
Yeah.
But this is what I believe are the key ingredients that sets an entrepreneur apart. And I'd also like to extend a notion that I do not want to believe in the world that we are born with certain things and other people are not born with them.
Right.
So obviously from a young age, we are predisposed to certain characteristics. But I do believe everyone can learn, unlearn, and develop even characteristics, by the way, behaviors, you can set them apart. Even beliefs, you can change them. So I know a question will come out, are we born with these things or not? So I'm of the school of thought that says when you grow up, you are predisposed to certain things that you take on to adulthood. Other people are not. But not to say that later on in adulthood, you can't develop those things. And I guess my message today and having to put these characteristics today is to say to entrepreneurs, these are learnable characteristics.
Right.
And there are science and philosophies for those who follow neuroscience around how you develop those things. But I guess that's not the scope of our conversations today. But what are they? I sum them up to four really key traits, if I may to use that word. One is something called strategic thinking, and not to be confused with strategic planning, because strategic thinking, it's a certain mindset of an entrepreneur.
Right.
That has no bounds to certain periods. Let me give you an example. Strategic planning typically happens within an organization, either monthly or periodically, quarter, biannually, and so forth. Strategic thinking happens every day. It's the thought patterns we have in our minds that really sets apart. It generates insights in our mind. Other people call it acumen. I'm not sure if you've heard of the term acumen. I do believe, by the way, that that's really the and I start with that one in particular because I'd like to focus on it in particular because remember I made a statement a while back to say that we really are not paid for those who make the greatest value and are getting paid the big bucks for that value they create. It's really not about hard work, but it's about decision making and more importantly, quality of that decision making. So you need to ask yourself, what is quality decision making and how do you get there? And that's, by the way, a function of what I call strategic thinking, because it's about acumen, it's about problem solving, it's about identifying key insights, strategic insights. It's about combining those insights to reach a certain objective that you want to achieve on the market. And I would go further that to say that entrepreneurs are problem solvers, and that's the crux of decision making is really about problem solving, because problem solving is about following a very systematic way to identify issues and resolving those issues, thereby creating value. Other people would lump in the things like critical thinking, right? That goes in there. I would like to add another one, which is a buzzword, and I think people have almost made it fashion, but it's really not fashion. Something called design thinking. So there's really, I would call two schools of thought when it comes to reasoning, if for those who follow reasoning and the old philosophers like Socrates and so forth. There is what we call deductive and inductive reasoning, if you remember, those of you of us who did logic, mathematics, logic. Because that one is very much data-driven. It's about what we know, right? And that's, and I'm not saying there's no value in that. There's quite a number of value about gathering data and inducing or deducing effects and coming to in insights, right? But design thinking is about what we call inference. Basically, I think there's the word for it is called obstructive reasoning, because it's about being comfortable with the unknown. Remember, we had this conversation around an entrepreneur whose ability to almost hypothesize what's going to happen in the market. But what they do then on is to go to the market and basically question certain assumptions around whether they are true or not. And they're able to obviously come with new knowledge and are able to formulate products that really then create the value. So strategic thinking and acumen is very important. But I went a bit deep because I don't want people now thinking that it's about mathematics and science, which is our deductive and inductive reasoning. But I'm saying there's this inference, which is about design thinking. If you think about it, design thinking is about empathizing. In fact, that's what it is. If for those of you who understand the cycle of it, but I'll give you three critical things about design thinking. It's really about empathizing, meaning you need to really immerse yourself in the customer's shoes and really empathize and understand to say, what is the work to be done? What are the pain points? And what is that knowledge telling me? But not only that, it's quickly setting up a prototype and testing it and whether it solves the problem or not. And by the way, you're following that iterative process to gather the knowledge and turn it into product and turn it into needs addressing or not, and being in the market and finding out. There, you don't have much data. You have hypotheses and you're testing them. That notion that sales fail fast, fail forward, but continue iterating. Obviously, there are other steps there around defining what the problems are and coming up with ideas, which is very much part of design thinking. But I digress. I think the important point is that you have to have acumen. And that acumen, by the way, is a function of what I call curiosity. You have to be curious. A lot of entrepreneurs that are able to solve the needs of people are very curious. They have this sense of thinking around what makes the world work, what makes the world tick, and they continuously test those assumptions to make sure that they are either on the right path or not. But more importantly, they come back and iteratively put out products out there. And I can make a lot of examples so that it's clear in your mind. But strategic thinking and acumen is the differentiator.
I wanna remind our listeners that the conversation is about those characteristics, those mindsets, those attitudes that are critical to becoming a successful entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me, just on the matter of strategic thinker, not strategic planning. I love that. I love that discrimination. But a strategic thinker, acumen. You're talking about a person that has the ability, if I understand you correctly, to not be encumbered by the details of the issue at hand, but can leave the issue at hand and almost see it panoramically.
Yeah.
So is that what you're saying?
So it's a function of both.
Okay.
I mentioned problem solving. By the way, there are a number of, and I mentioned these frameworks, by the way, because those are frameworks endeared in academia, but they've become very strong frameworks in business so that entrepreneurs can go read about them. Design thinking is a very much laid out process that you can read about. It's a skill that you can pick up.
Yep.
Problem solving as well. There's 7 steps to problem solving. But to address your point, you'll quickly understand with all of them. They start very much conceptual at their very high end, but they quickly allow you to think systematically and delve into the detail. So there's two, and I call it energy, right? You need to oscillate. That's a word I'm looking for. You need to oscillate between two, obviously, paradigms. That's where I think you as a strategic thinker, you are able to create value. You need to be able to separate the trees from the forest and look at the forest, because that's the why, right, at the forest. But quickly delve into the forest where the how and the what. Because, again, you can't dream all the time. You need to be able to dream and come back to say, how do you make that dream a reality, which is now where the practical things happen. And what do I mean by that? If you think about, let's take the Apple example. So the hypothesis is when they start creating the gadget called the iPad. I mean, remember the time Steve Jobs is actually famous to say, one day people won't need buttons. They will need, they will touch the screen and use their fingers. I mean, that's visionary thinking, right? But they need to come back very quickly to say, but what is this thing looking like? And this is where they're coming with the design, they're coming with the innovation, testing out new concepts, researching and doing all these other bits of things to make these things possible. And by the way, not only that, and taking it to market and testing it out and see what sort of business model they need to come out with and coming back. So it's both, Aubrey, to ask. One thing, and you've asked me this question before, to say what makes a good strategist. And I guess today is the details of that. That's a strategic thinking or strategy. Is both being able to see the big picture, but being able to delve
appreciate
deep enough
the detail. Yeah, yeah.
To say, how do we make that vision come true?
I'm always in the business of wanting to demystify things to their most relatable denominator. And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to say to people that, first of all, these are skills that are learnable.
Yep.
These are skills that you might even have inherently, perhaps not yet sharpened to the level at which we're talking about at this stage, but the ability to think outside the box and inside the box at the same time in your pursuit for problem-solving answers, I suppose, is what we call strategic thinking. It means that you're not bound only by detail, but you're also not so much in the sky that you are impractical.
Yeah.
You're oscillating and vacillating between the two, and that is what you call acumen, the ability to look at a situation and see it for its detail, but also see it for its potential, for its largest. And you're saying that that is something that an entrepreneur needs to have. You coined certain terms, acumen, strategic thinking. It is that type of thinking, that way of thinking that you're saying that an entrepreneur needs to have that kind of thinking. Please give me a call, 011-883-0702, and let me know what your understanding of acumen is. Yeah? Perhaps you could even point to me situations where your acumen has come to the fore, where your strategic thinking has come to the fore. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. Because I think that that is when we need problem solvers.
Yeah.
One of the conversations we've had before was that it is not just enough to have a product, but it is important to have a product that fits and is useful in a particular context.
Yeah.
And that is acumen.
That's acumen.
Acumen is to be able to say, I can think of a nice concept, but it has to have somewhere where it actually lives, where it is actually real. And that is the application of acumen, if I understand you correctly.
Absolutely. Maybe let me practicalize it for an entrepreneur on the street. Acumen is as I've mentioned, a way of solving problems. And one of the biggest problems we have as entrepreneurs is things is something that says, why am I not generating profits in a business? Now, a systematic way of thinking about profits, obviously, we've mentioned this in our income statement, is to say, okay, so there's two ways that I can generate profit. It's my revenue must be greater than my costs. So obviously now you've got two levers, right? You see, you've taken something from very pie in the sky called profit, but you've went down into two levers that drive profit, is to say, let me increase my revenue, let me decrease my cost. You can actually take revenue now and even delve it deeper to say, okay, but what drives revenue? So it's the pricing that I have and the quantities that I have. Do I have the right price? Do I have the right quantities? At cost, obviously, it's the various costs, the direct cost, the indirect cost. So to your point, we start something with a very abstract that called a profit, but we quickly delve into say, how many number of products am I selling? What is my price? Because ultimately that influences what we call profit.
Yeah.
So that's one example. And by the way, I'm using a framework of property. You can use it in a lot. You can take, for example, the quantity, and you ask yourself, is it because I'm constrained in producing my product, or it's a function of the market not taking it? If it's the market, what is it? Is it the marketing? Is it the awareness? Or is it obviously my pricing? Am I competitive in terms of pricing, or am I overpricing my market? So again, it's a framework of thinking about problems of business and coming to actionable steps that drive action at the end of the day. Because you might come back with this framework that I said that says, but I need to increase marketing. This is where now you go to the how part, right? The how part is when you get specialists to say, is it the brand, or is it the awareness, or is it, again, you'll then quickly go into the what needs to be done. Okay, let's go to social media, let's go to the above the line, and so forth. So at the end of the day, you start with something very abstract. I call it the forest. You move into mini forest, the forest, which is, by the way, profit. You moved into mini forest, which is about revenue and costs, and obviously the nitty gritties. That's what I mean by acumen and it's about generating
strategic
insights.
Strategic thinking. Yeah, sure.
011-883-0702 insights that you're able to use to change your business.
011-883-0702, strategic thinking, acumen. Give me examples in which you have had to use that faculty. Give me examples in which you have found that you were able to see the detail, but also see the potential. That you were able to go in and out of the practicalities and into the philosophical. Yeah. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. I want to keep this as relatable as possible, but it is important for any entrepreneur to have that kind of thinking, strategic thinking, acumen, the ability to have a curious enough mind to problem solve. I had a conversation many, many months ago with somebody who said to me, I sell curtains, but I'm not getting through. I'm not making what I'm not getting to the place where I can say that I'm making the kinds of profits that I'm. Is it possible that perhaps we need to think a little bit further than the product, and then say, what is the experience that I want my potential clients to have beyond just the product? Because maybe part of the problem is that you're just thinking in terms of the product and not the experience that the product gives. And I'm asking this question based on a conversation you and I have had before about that drill bit. Yep. I mean, that thing stays in my mind all the time.
Yeah.
That the guy who becomes exponentially better at what they're doing, and that is the selling of drill bits, is the guy who's not no longer just thinking about the drill bit and the fact that the drill bit has got so much steel in it, so many alloys in it, and it's as strong and whatever, but really starts to think about what is the experience that the buyer of the drill bit wants.
Yep.
And it sounds to me that that kind of thinking is the strategic thinking that takes us to other levels in our entrepreneurial journey.
So I did, when I opened up, is to say, let's separate strategic thinking to strategic planning. And I would even argue, because that now we're getting into what I call the second frame now of the characteristics,
okay,
which is very strong direction setting in mobilization, right? And direction setting is a function of a couple of things. One is about the vision. And two is the strategy that you talk about. You'll see that very strong entrepreneurs, they have a very good sense. I'm coming back, and I'll come back to vision because I think it's important, right? Entrepreneurs, when it comes to strategy, have a very good sense of what they want about their winning aspirations on their products, right? They have a very strong sense about the where they want to play. What is their market? Geography, market segments, type of people, is it B2B, is it C2B? Those entrepreneurs have very clarity of mind about those. And more importantly, they've got a very strong sense about what it takes to win in their markets, and very quickly, what sort of capabilities, business capabilities now, and a set of management systems. And that's what you call strategy now, because you'll see that goes beyond just the product, right? After you've developed that product, and by the way, I would argue that the product itself is a function of strategic thinking, because there you are trying to refine. I mentioned things like design thinking. Design thinking is about empathizing and finding out what people want and coming back and developing a product ultimately. But you need to then take that product and say, can I build a business on it? All right. Which is that one is a function of, can I find a market? Is there buyers? We've spoken about this, the whole business model canvas, right? Can I find a market? Is the market growing? Is it big enough? Where are these people? Do I have a product? Can I differentiate that product? By the way, this is now the what I call what it takes to win.
Yep.
It's a function of, am I a low cost player? For example, am I a differentiated player? And more often you'll find that more people are differentiated players, and they are very clear about what differentiates them to their competitors, right? And they are quickly able to come back and compete in those markets. So strategy is very, very important. But the final part of that, what I call setting of direction, and you'll see, I want us to talk vision, because ultimately the vision is what dictates how big that product grows and where do you take it. I call it, maybe I mentioned it, I said it's the winning aspiration, right? So it's the vision, it's the strategy itself, but it's how you then allocate resources to give rise to that strategy. How do you then mobilize talent and capital to give rise to those? Very strong entrepreneurs have got that very strong sense of setting that direction and mobilizing the team in addition to the acumen.
Let's take some calls, but before I take a call, Patrick Ntsudisane says, good evening, bro. Obs, until I hear that Mr. Please Call Me gets his billions, will be the day that black tech innovators will rise. Your guest speaker goes back to Steve Jobs, and till today I struggle to conceive that black people don't think within and outside the box. I'm not really sure what that means. Do you understand what that means?
I'm not sure. I guess maybe he's referring to examples that we are using, and probably less, we're not talking about the likes of Makates. And by the way, we can use Richard Maponya as one of, by the way, my personal inspiration to role model him across this thing of strategic thinking. And so I guess there are a number of black entrepreneurs
who have that kind of acumen. All right. Look, this is what I want to say to Patrick. Take it, don't take it. You know, it's really up to you. And maybe the comment you're making is about the analogies that we're using in trying to make a particular point, and maybe that point needs to be taken under advisement and really considered. So I take that point. But let not the opportunity of your success leave you because you felt that less examples regarding black entrepreneurs were used. Please don't lose the opportunity that is before you because you've exceptionalized yourself and your suffering. I really, really understand, I suppose, that we need to hear examples that speak to us and our experience. I get that. I take that. But please don't put yourself in a situation where you lose the opportunity of your own success because a particular example wasn't used. I think that based on your message on this particular platform, you are intelligent enough to understand a principle, and that the principle trumps the example to highlight the principle. Please don't lose the opportunity. Yeah? Because this is about you. If you decide you don't want to take the advice that you're getting because Makate hasn't gotten his billions, which is something that is out of our control, I think that you might be losing an opportunity for yourself because of something that we can't control. But as far as analogies and I think we take that under advisement, and I think that's what you were referring to. Let's take the call from Silo in Johannesburg. Hi, Silo. Hello, Silo. Why am I not able to hear Silo? All right, Silo is let's all right. Let's see. Maybe we'll get Silo back. 011-883-0702. It is important, I think, that while we have acumen, we should also have the standard trait that says, I too am a candidate for success.
Yeah.
Because if my candidacy for success is only based on conditions that I am looking for, then my candidacy for success is very limited. There are going to be conversations, there are going to be examples, there are going to be realities, there are going to be situations that are not ideal to what I would like to have.
Yep.
That thing is called life. Right. You know, and life's hard, you know.
Yep.
And that's why maybe it's important to talk about that aspect. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so And again, Aubrey, I did say that this is just my observation. It's based on my observation. Right. So obviously it's a bias towards my own personal journey in life, my experiences. I did mention that we all come from different
backgrounds.
And I'm the first to say that maybe my background is not that of a typical South African. I did say that my context, I was born of what we deem middle class back then, which is my dad was a railway man, my mother was a nurse.
I don't know what else is more typical South African than that, bro.
But what I mean is that I grew up on the shoulders of giants, right?
Okay.
So in a sense that I was encouraged to get into knowledge very early on. And I guess my experiences are like that. So, and I don't assume that a lot of South Africans have the same. I've had a privilege of attending good schools, multiracial schools, going to university, going to business school, and having been exposed to Ivy League schools in the US. So my assumptions and my predispositions and my knowledge come from that background, and I have no other fact base to teach or disseminate the knowledge that I have, because it comes pre-packaged in me. I remember my spiritual teacher used to say that we all have our own generational brainwashing.
Sure.
He used to call it. By the way, one of the traits is high degree of spirituality. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. We all have marbles that are different. What spirituality teaches us to do, and in fact, I'll quote him for those of you, is the late Baruch Banai. He says, being able to create breakthroughs.
I've had him on the show, by the way.
Ah, amazing man. I've had the privilege of engaging the man, getting close to him. I guess my spirituality was changed by that. But by the way, how I met Baruch, again, was a function of a mentor that I had. But that took a very... beneficial turning point in my life. But I digress, Aubrey. I've got a lot of information that I want to share. But the spirituality says you create a breakthrough beyond thoughts and feelings. And to me, that's a fundamentally very powerful statement, because it says beyond what I feel, beyond the thoughts that are not my own, I'm able to create a breakthrough. And it comes back to the point that you are saying, to say life is life. We are dealt different cards. How you react to them
Precisely.
Is a function of your spirituality and how spiritually resilient
Precisely.
You are. Because it's not everything that will make you happy. It's not everything that will satisfy you. But how you react to it is a function of how strong spiritually you are.
Somebody said, hey, life's hard, man. Get a helmet, you know? Well, 1-883-0702. Salo is back in Johannesburg. Hi, Salo.
Robs.
Hey, Tara Brasilo.
At least for its last Mr. Masangwe, is it Andy Swaze?
It's Andy Saramabunga, yeah.
Saramabunga, good evening, how are you?
Good evening, Baba, how are you?
No, as always, Mr. Masangwe will tell you I'm alive. I'm alive.
That's very good, by the way.
I always take a note from him. As I could read from... your explanations, I'll call them connotations, because as ever, we didn't read the same books which you have read, that you did an MBA. Now, I'm assuming. I don't know.
You're correct. You're absolutely correct.
I could read that. But are you able then to explain the... I love the 7 McKinsey strategy in the basics of MBA. Are you then able to explain? I heard you talking about the strategies and all the stuff, but you never explained what type of strategy you're talking about, because the kind of strategies which in business we always talk about, the people who created them. And in most cases, we need to quote them to say, these strategies were not created by Andy Iswa. They were created by Mr. Robson. They were created by Mr. Robiro. But now, what is your take on the 7 McKinsey strategy, which forms the basics of us as entrepreneurs, understanding the basis of business? Because if we go on and we just quote strategies, which we don't quote who created those strategies, to me, I'm saying, a scholar like you are not doing a good service to the creators of those strategies. Thank you, Braobs and Andy.
So in Johannesburg, thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated. On that scholarly note.
Yeah. So I guess Silo is talking about the 7S, right? When he says the McKinsey, which, by the way, is not a strategy, but it's a framework of thinking about organizational design, right? So I mentioned to him that although I like that, but my preferred one, and I don't know whether Silo has been following our first podcast where I spoke about another framework of thinking about organizational design, which is the PARC model. I find it much neater, much smaller, and easier to understand. But basically what those are not strategies, but are a way of thinking about an organization once the strategy is set. Because once you've set the strategy, there are critical components of the organization that you need to think about. And by the way, that falls under part of acumen, where one of the things I mentioned under acumen or systems thinking is to say, once you understand what your strategy is, and I said to him, the strategy is about creating value. I don't want to get bogged down into subtle nuances. I know there's school of thoughts, but to me, it's about creating value. If you're able, and that value, we succinctly say, is the profits. The greater the profits that you create, the greater the value that you are creating. Yeah. Once you've determined what that formula of creating value is, you then need to come back and think about the organization that you need to create that will sustain and grow that value. And that's a function of either the McKinsey 7S or the model.
I want to jump in very quickly and ask that we keep it simple.
Yep.
Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Because we can, if you want, go into a conversation about, you know, the elitism of any conversation. Who quoted who? We can go into the philosophical issues of plagiarism and whether that... What this program aims to do is to equip our listeners who are wanting the information with the principles of how to develop the characteristics that are going to help you in your journey as an entrepreneur. Now, we can go down the scholarly route of, you know, of having a proper footnote for every single word that we say. We can do that, and I accept that is perhaps the issue for some people. But this is not a scholarly process. This is a process for advising and giving information for people who want to enter in the practical sense the journey of journalism, or who are already in it and want to. The reading and all of that wonderful scholarly stuff is important, but that's not what we're here to do.
Yeah.
We're here to come and have a conversation that is going to help people very practically about the characteristics that are required in order for you to be. Because here's my problem with the way that the conversation can go.
Yeah.
It become an elitist thing where you guys with MBAs now start to show each other how clever you guys are. You leave us behind, you see.
Yeah.
And when we tuned in because we wanted to get the principles that are going to empower us in our journey as entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Not to watch you guys enjoy yourselves quoting wonderful things.
Wonderful things, yeah.
But I take the point that on another platform, in other reasons, in other situations, that kind of flexing is important for the legitimization of that conversation. Yeah?
So Aubrey, I take Silo's feedback in two ways, right? One maybe is to be clear with the disclaimer that I and that's why background sometimes is important. I went into it. I would argue that none of my ideas are my own, by the way. I might not quote. In fact, I would argue that possibly, unless you are in academia and doing very deep research, none of your ideas. And then now it's taking us to the spirituality realm, but we'll come back to it. None of the ideas that we have are our own. And hence, I mentioned that it's generational brainwashing.
Nothing is new under the sun.
Nothing. There's absolutely nothing. So, and to your point, we run the risk of now subquoting each and everything we talk. Can you imagine if we were to have a conversation every day and you are quoting people with the proviso now that you know that none of your thoughts, by the way, none of your feelings are your own.
Yeah.
It's generational brainwashing, and we need to accept it. But the second one, though, before I moved on, what I appreciate about him is raising a concept about frameworks, of which I've started teasing entrepreneurs around where do you go to develop certain skills?
Yep.
You mentioned one, for example, on organizational design. It's and we've covered this bit, by the way, in our strategy session around creating a winning strategy, creating a winning organization, and so forth. His frameworks go in there. And I guess I would encourage entrepreneurs, because I find the framework way of thinking to be a very powerful, systematic way, particularly for acumen.
Yeah.
One of the frameworks, if you were not following when I made the example around profit, was actually taking the income statement and breaking it apart, if you think about it. It's to say, start with profit, but from profit, you know that it's there's costs, there's administrative costs, there's direct costs, there's revenue, it's product multiplied by quantity, because it assists us to really think systematically about issues, and more importantly, to prioritize them.
Right.
Because part of acumen is really getting to the issues that are a priority to your business, and tackling them and coming up with solutions to improve the situation.
Piri is in Alex. Good evening to you, Piri.
Hi, good evening, Brobs, and Mr. Ramavonga. Inspirational as always.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to really say, Brobs, that you know, I think as a people, naturally, you know, we want more, we want to earn more and do more and sell more. But I think it's also the how part of it that we often struggle with. I'll give you an example. I mean, let's say somebody that grew up in the rural homelands of Raskukune and who was only exposed to, you know, herding cattle and looking after, you know, the parents' cattle and the household there.
Yeah.
And nothing more. And then moved up to Gauteng to earn an accounting skill, where I now sort of like know what the difference between debit and credit is. How do I then, you know, attain that acumen that Mr. Ramavunga is then talking about? Because I've never really been outside of this skill that I currently have. And, you know, talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, beyond this skill, there has to be something that you need to attain and be able to scale up and you know, ensure that you prepare your entrepreneurship journey. So how do I think I struggle with the how part of it in that regard.
Piri and Alex, thanks very much for that question. Andisa?
Yeah, so I think we were teasing you, Piri, now. And I think you are taking us back to our strategy conversation, because remember, today is less about the product and more about the characteristics that you need. Again, you've got a skill set. I'm assuming that skill set, I'm not sure whether it's accounting or it's chartered accounting or it's just bookkeeping. Again, there's a value in bookkeeping, right? There's a lot of people who want bookkeeping. The question is you understand that there are a lot of other people who have businesses in bookkeeping. How do you differentiate yourself and so forth? And that's a function of our first conversation around value creation. And this is the business model we spoke about. So I'd really urge you to maybe go back to that conversation that we had. And again, that's a teaser as well, because you still need to do the heavy lifting and really do the hard thinking around, what is your product? Who do you think your markets are? How are you creating that value? How are you differentiating yourself? How do you then come and create an organization that can that can win at the end of the day? So again, Aubrey, I think it's one of those questions. Maybe it's worth revisiting and maybe taking a recap of that. But I think it's quite important now to say, once you understand all these things about your business, acumen becomes very important, in a sense to say, when things are not working, what is it that you then need to do, or what sort of decisions you need to take? I guess that's my whole point on acumen. And I started mentioning frameworks that are about product, by the way, or about business. This problem solving, hypothesis driven, and we spoke about it. The design thinking component, the critical thinking component, and the systems thinking component as well. Again, these are frameworks you can think about, you can read about, you can study and learn. And really, I guess the point is to apply them in your own sense of life. You'll see that they are quite intuitive. And that's why we're not taking, I'm not taking liberty in telling you what they are, but these are If you're curious as an entrepreneur, you can Google and find these things and read about them. You will see that they're intuitive and quite easy to follow. And obviously, practice will make things much better for you, and you'll be able to be practical about them.
How do we get in touch with you?
So we're still available on info@ntisoconsulting.co.za.
We need to go into that spirituality aspect.
Yeah, yeah? There's a number. Yeah. Personal effectiveness is in there where we tackle the issues of beliefs we wanted to talk about. Spirituality is a big one as well. That, by the way, those are integrated sets of characteristics. They're not separate from each other.
Group Chief Advisor at NDE, so consulting, looking forward to the next conversation as we look at those characteristics that will make your journey as an entrepreneur less of a fake.